Well, this morning I want to begin with a question, and it's a question that I don't want you to respond out loud to, okay? I just want you to respond internally to, and it's a question that we actually addressed last November, but today we're going to go just a little deeper into answering that question. And my question to you is, how many are currently facing one of three things? You could put them all together: a problem, a challenge, a difficulty, okay? Don't respond out loud. We don't all need to know. Unless you want to come up afterwards, we'll pray for you. But how many are facing a problem, a challenge, or a difficulty? If you're here today and you say, not me, I want to make sure sometime this week you go home and say, thank God. Amen? Thank God if you're not facing one of those things right now, because I want to let you know, and I hate to be straightforward about it, your day's coming. Okay? Your opportunity, this is all opportunity. It's available to you. And you say, Mike, how can you be so certain of the fact that I'm going to face problems, challenges, and difficulties? I can be so certain of the fact for three reasons. First of all, we're all broken people. We're all broken, okay? Because of the sin and fall of human nature, we're all broken. And here's the second piece of the facts, and that is that we live among other broken people. Amen? We live among other broken people. And number three, we live in this broken world. So all these are the facts. And as a result of all this brokenness, you're going to face problems, difficulties, and challenges. That will end one day, and that will be the day that you die and you go to be in the presence of the Lord if you know Jesus. That's going to be great. No more of that stuff. But until then, problems, difficulties, and challenges are inevitable, okay? And I want to let you know they come in all different shapes. They come in all different sizes. And just about the time you think you got one taken care of, guess what? Another one pops up. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I know that Heather and I have faced some challenges that I shared with you with the IRS, and all that is finally over. Awesome. By the way, I went to the mailbox this week, and I opened the mailbox, and I received my 2016 tax return. It took that long. So it was so awesome. And my tax guy, I was going to let him off the hook and say, hey, I'll go elsewhere. I put you through so much. He said, no way. I've helped you this far. We're going to see this thing through, okay? So I told Heather, I went home and I said, wow, we are caught up with the rest of America. We have given him our tax information, and it feels really good. How many people are at that same place? It feels good. Okay, well, you are not excited about taxes because you never had problems before, okay? But anyway, problems, difficulties, challenges, they're a part of life. True, and it is true. It's apparent it's true. Wouldn't it be wise if you and I would learn to, in the process, learn how to handle these things properly? They're going to happen. Wouldn't it be cool if we would learn how to handle them properly? Does that make sense to everyone? You know they're going to come. So why don't we try to figure out beforehand how we can handle them properly? So what's the key to handling these things properly? Are you ready for the answer? Everybody lean forward and say, you bet, I can't wait. This is why I woke up early this morning. I can't wait. What's the answer? Because this is a really big deal. By the way, I don't think you're ready. So why don't we just call it quits, okay? Are you ready? Yes. This is a big deal. How do we handle these things properly? This is what I want to tell you this morning. This is my message. How you respond. Well, you guys, I thought the roof was going to come off the house today. How you respond to these things that come your way are either going to make you or break you, okay? They're going to make or break you. I love what Rick Warren says. There's this quote on the screen here. He says, it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to what happens to you that matters most. Doesn't that make great sense to you this morning? It's not what happens to you, because things are going to happen. They happen to everyone. But the difference is how you're going to respond to what happens to you that matters most. And as I said earlier, problems, challenges, and difficulties, they can either make you or break you, okay? If you respond in a good way, there can be positive responses from problems. There can be a positive come out of a negative. But on the same way, if you continue to respond negative to problems, challenges, and difficulties, how many people know that can be like pouring gas on a fire? Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Pouring gas on a problem, on a fire, is going to make it bigger than it really is anyway. You know what I'm talking about. I thought of that this week. I was thinking, wow, what does that look like? How many people have a gas grill in their garage, a gas grill? Man, we're the only few privileged people. Gas grill. How many times have you ever gone out and you turned on the gas and you hit that little button and you thought the flame was going to come on and it didn't? And you kept on what? Hitting the button. Has anybody ever got a lighter and put it into that area? And does anybody know what I'm talking about? I can see I'm not the only crazy person. I remember walking in once and my boys were like, Dad, something's wrong with your eyebrows. And there was one day I literally had the garage door shut and it went poof and I could feel the door shaking. Wrong way to respond. By the way, many of us have problems, difficulties, and challenges because they're a part of the life and they happen and we respond the wrong way and we get our eyebrows singed. You know what I'm talking about? And something that could have been maintained and kept small, before you know it, there was fallout. And the fallout began to impact other people. Fallout began to impact other relationships. Does anybody identify with what I'm talking about this morning? I know that happens to me too many times. So what I want to do this morning is I want to share with you a Bible story, because I think the Bible is our source of all authority. And I want to share a story of an Old Testament character whose name is Esau. Esau. A-S-A, okay? And you say, well, who is Esau? Well, he is a king. He was the third king of Judah. So we're going back to the Old Testament. We're actually going back today to the book of 2 Chronicles. If you want to look there, good luck. If not, we'll post all the verses on the screen. And what we want to do today is we're going to learn how we should respond to problems. We're going to learn from this Old Testament character, Asa, who was the second king of Judah. And the thing you need to, or the third king of Judah, the thing you need to understand, the previous two kings before him were very, very evil, meaning they did things their own way. They totally neglected God, his commandments, his regulations, what he wanted. So as a result, here comes King Asa into the place of rulership. And he enters into this kingship at a very, very difficult time because the people were suffering the consequences. They were suffering problems as a result of bad leadership. So as Esau's entering leadership, it's a very difficult time. There's many problems. There's many challenges. There's many difficulties that are going on. He's inherited a mess. Does everybody understand where we're at? He inherited a mess. And what I want to do is I want to see how he responds to the mess that he inherits. Right there is the verse. We can read it together. It says, Asa also came and he removed the shrines as well as the incense altars from every one of Judah's towns. So Asa's kingdom enjoyed a period of peace. Well, that verse doesn't mean much till you understand the reason why they were having problems is because they were putting up shrines to other gods, altars to other gods. And as a result, they were disobeying God and a whole bunch of negative things were happening. So what does Asa do when he becomes king? He says, we're going into every town. And what we're going to do is we're going to remove all the shrines. We're going to remove all the negative incense altars. We're going to remove all the evil. So this guy's very proactive. He says, we're going to remove all the negative, all the things that are evil. And what we're going to do is we're going to be a people that we're going to begin to seek God. We're going to seek after God's heart. And as a result, the verse says, because of that, they experienced peace. They experienced peace, okay? So here's the cool thing. He inherited a whole bunch of problems as the king, but guess what? He handled the problems. He responded correctly. And as a result, there was a good outcome. Is everybody tracking with me so far? He inherits problems. He takes care of the problems. He responds the right way. As a result, good things happen. So this guy right now is batting one for one. He's had a chance to go to the plate one time. He's hit a home run. I want you to get this, but I want to let you know his plate appearances aren't over yet. He's going to get to go to bat again, okay? So what happens? Life goes on, and Esau experiences another problem. Because here's the thing with problems. A wise person once said that problems are like what? Dandelions. You pick one, and then the next morning you come out and you find this. Next slide. The next morning you find this. You thought all your problems, you thought all your dandelions were gone. Then you wake up and you look out and boom, there's more problems. So this is what's happening in Esau's life. He's been one for one, but life continues on. He finds another problem. We see the problem in verse 9. Let's look at the verse together. It says, once an Ethiopian named Zerah came and attacked Judah, which is where Asa's the king, with an army of 1 million men and 300 chariots. So there's a problem. We're small. We have enemies that are much bigger than us. Big problems, big challenges, big difficulties. There's a million men out there ready to attack us and take over. And they're well equipped. They have 300 chariots. What I want you to see is this problem is big. It's big. It's big stuff. So how does Asa respond? Because it's not about what happens to you. It's how you respond to it. So Asa right now is, he has to make a decision. What am I going to do? I'm the king. I'm the leader. People are opposing problems. What should I do? Well, let's look at verse 11. I'll show you what he does. It says, then Asa cried out to the Lord his God. He prayed a prayer, O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. And then he prays this prayer, help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you alone. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. So I love this. He is facing a monster problem. Think of your problem this morning. Asa has a monster problem too. And what does he do? He says, I know what I need to do is I need to go and pray. And he prays basically a one-word prayer. And his one-word prayer is, everybody together, help. Has anybody ever just prayed a prayer that simple? Help. May I suggest, and this is my opinion, you haven't really had a big problem yet until you're just at the point where all you can say is, God, help. God, this thing is so big. I don't know what to say. My words are not adequate, but Lord, help. And he prays a prayer. He just simply gets before God. He leads the people into saying, help. Okay, I want you to hear this morning. Get the pattern here. Then the next verse, let's see the results of this prayer. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah, and the enemy did what? Everybody together fled. So here we go. Problem solved. Why? Because God came through. Does everybody get the result? It's because God came through. So here we go. Asa's been at the plate now twice. Each time he's gone to the plate, he's gotten a home run. Boom, boom. He's knocked the ball out of the park. 2 for 2. Everything's going great. And I want to point out something before we move on in the story. And that is this, that Asa experiences victories over his problems. Excuse me. He gets victory over his problems when he turns to God. Is everybody getting this morning? Because you have problems. We have problems. How you respond makes a difference. When he turns to God, things go well. He doesn't turn to himself. And I find this interesting because the human tendency is this. When there's problems, the human tendency is to go and buckle down and go inward with our problems. Or we begin to think, if I just had more money, if I just had more people to help me, if I just had all the right connections, things would be fine. But here's the cool thing about Asa in this point in his life. He doesn't have all those things. He doesn't have all the outside resources. So what he does is he stops and he prays this powerful, heartfelt prayer, and God answers the prayer, and the Ethiopians are defeated. So I want you to get this. How did he do in the first problem? How did he do? Did he do good or bad? Good. He hit a home run. He turned to God. How did he do the second time? He did great. He hit a home run. Why? He turned to God. But like I've been saying, guys, problems happen all the time. Yay or nay? Here we go. Asa is going to have a third opportunity. We're going to read about it in 2 Chronicles 16:1. Many years later, it says, in the 36th year of King Asa's reign, there was a king named Baasha of Israel. He invaded Judah, and he fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from entering or leaving Asa's territory. So here we go. There's another big problem that comes knocking at Asa's door, and you would think from past experience that he would know exactly how to handle his problems. Why? Because he's batting 2 for 2. But something's happened in his life. Something's happened in his life. Something begins to happen in his heart. And now he's going to try to take care of his problem on his own. This time he's not going to seek the Lord. We're not told why he's not going to seek the Lord. Maybe because now he's become a bigwig. Now he's got resources. Now he's got money. Now he's got people he can turn to. Now he can figure out the situation. But now the problem comes. And now he's not going to seek the Lord. But we're told in the text that he picks up the phone. And what he does is he picks up the phone and he calls a guy named Ben-Hadad. Everybody say Ben-Hadad. Who's Ben-Hadad? He's a king of Aram. He's a very powerful connection. Meaning, now I've got friends. Now I've got connections. Now I got places I can run. And not only does he call Ben-Hadad, now what he does is he offers him gifts of gold and silver from the treasury, and they draw up a treaty. Now I have an ally. Now I don't have to go to God. Now there's other things I can do. And here's the deal with the result. As the result of having Ben-Hadad's help, they defeat the enemy. They defeat the enemy. So we look at that and we say, well, that's good news. He won another battle. He solved another problem. But here's the bad news. Yeah, he solved another problem. Yeah, he won another victory. But here's the sad part. He missed out and he lost out with God. But he won. He won. Yeah, he did it his way. But he lost out with God. He said, God, I no longer need you. I can figure this out now. I'm smart. I've grown in wisdom and stature, success. And now he loses out with God. And I think the point is that you and I can be successful outside of God. I want everybody to hear that this morning. You can be successful without God to a degree. Because some people are only concerned with what? The end product. The end product is, hey, you won. Problem solved. But there's some people that are concerned with the principle. What's the principle? You did it the wrong way. And there's going to be problems and challenges and things that come your way that you can solve on your own way, but you can do it the wrong way. And what we need to do is we need to choose whose way are we going to do it, our way, or are we going to do it God's way? And here's the deal. As the story concludes, there's this guy named Hanani. Weird name, but he's a seer. And he knows that Esau has done things the wrong way. And I want to read one last portion of scripture. It says, at that time, Hanani the seer came to King Esau, and he has a conversation. He has a talk with him, a heart-to-heart talk. And he tells him, because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and their vast army with all their chariots and charioteers? At that time, you relied on the Lord, and he did what? He handed them over to you. And then he shares a great verse. He says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts, because this is what it is. It's a heart issue. Strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He says, Asa, what a fool you've been. From now on, you're going to have bigger problems than you have ever had before. You're going to be at war. So somebody comes and gets up in his grill. He gets up in his face and say, I've known exactly what you've done. God's told me what you've done. Why didn't you go back to the way you did it the first two times? The first two times you went to God. The third time you tried to figure everything out and do it your own way. And he said, you've acted like a fool. And as a result, from now on, it's almost like God's hand's going to be lifted from your life and you're going to miss out and be in war. And I believe it's at that moment that Esau has a decision. I don't know about you, but if I was Esau, I would have said, oh man, you're right. I messed up. God, forgive me. I messed up. Or there was the decision, would he become bitter, angry, and harden his heart? And here's the deal. He makes this decision, and he gets very, very angry. So what does he do? The guy that brought the message, he throws him into prison. Because why? You can't talk to a king like that. He throws him into prison. In the last verses of the morning, we see the outcome of Esau's life. It says, in the 39th year of his reign, he developed a serious foot disease. Isn't it amazing how the Bible is so graphic? A serious foot disease. Yet, even with the severity of his disease, he did not seek the Lord's help, but he turned only to the physicians, and he died in the 41st year of his reign. I think that's a sad story. A guy that faces problems, challenges, and difficulties just like us, The first two times it's recorded in Scripture, he handles those things very well. The third time he turns his back on God and totally blows it. What I want to do is I want to apply this story as we close this morning. And I want to say this. I think it's safe to say that every one of us, we live lives of constant problem solving, constant difficulties, constant challenges. In this room today, there are people with relationship problems. Those are tough, aren't they? In this room, there's even people in struggles with marriage and family. There's people in financial stress. There's people with job problems. There's people with sicknesses. There's people facing problems, challenges, and maybe teenagers, whatever your situation may be. The list is endless. So what I want you to do right now is I just want to be quiet for about 10 seconds, and I want you to identify right now your problem, your challenge, your difficulty. I want you to think of it. Label it in your head right now. What is it in your life that just like, wow, it's here. Let's just take 10 seconds. And by the way, if there's nothing you can think of, why don't you just say right now, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Nothing. It's all good right now. Okay. Was there anybody? Don't raise your hand. Is there anyone that was able to identify right now? Yeah, this is a season right now. This is just a tough season. So things are happening. You're facing problems. And I want to let you know right now at this moment, in your problem, your challenge, and your difficulty, you're faced with a major decision. You're faced with a major decision. And your biggest decision in your problem, challenging, and difficulty is this. Everybody listen in. How will I respond? How will I respond to this? How will I respond? You have two options. How many people know we can go to our Ben-Hadad for help, meaning we can try to deal with our problem in our own ability, our own method, our own resources, saying, God, I got this one. I got this one figured out. God, appreciate it, but I don't need your help. I'm going to try to figure this one out on my own. You have that option this morning. You have that option not only this morning, but the rest of your life when you face these things. How you respond is going to define a lot of issues. Will you try to figure things out on your own? Or number two, will you go to God for help? Will you go to God for help? Will you come to God and say, Lord, you know what's going on in my life. You will know all the different things, the problems, the challenges, the difficulties in my life. And I love the prayer. It says, Lord, we have no one else but you to give us help. Lord, we place our trust in you. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says what? Trust in the Lord. Everybody together, I think many people know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. I love that promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. Another verse I love is the verse on the screen this morning. The writer of Hebrews says this, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his, everybody say it together, mercy. And here's the promise, and we will find grace to help when we need it most. So let's bow our heads this morning. We're going to just take a few extra minutes in prayer this morning. Mark, if you can turn on some light background music this morning. I want us to make this a house of prayer this morning. And if you have a problem this morning, a challenge, a difficulty that you're currently facing, you have a choice how you're going to respond. Are you going to respond in your own strength, your own know-how, your own abilities? See, I think one of the problems with we as Americans, we're smart people. We have a lot of ways we can turn for help. But I believe God wants us to say, come on, come to me. Come to me, trust in me. I can help you through anything. How many people know that God is all-powerful? How many people know that God is all-powerful? How many people know the promise is that with God, all things are possible? So whatever you're facing today, let's just make this for 5 minutes a place of prayer. If you want to come and you want to kneel at the altars in the front or at the front and say, God, help. Help. Or if you feel comfortable staying right where you're at this morning, you can cry for help anywhere. But if you're here today and nothing's going wrong and everything's, you're living a sun-filled life right now, why don't you just take time to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this good season in my life. Thank you for my strong marriage. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for health. Thank you for your provision in my life. Let's just take time to say, Lord, we call upon you. We call upon you, Lord. Yes. Help for on behalf of one of your kids right now, one of your children. Maybe it's something going on at school, at work. Maybe it's an area where there's sickness. Maybe it's an area of brokenness in a relationship. Lord, we want to be Esau at the beginning of his reign. We don't want to be the Esau at the end of his reign. We want to choose to respond by coming to you. So just cry out to the Lord right now, just in your own way. Just say, Lord, help me. You know the situation. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Sometimes it's so hard to know what to pray. I've been there. But it's just like, Lord, I don't even know what to say. But I think we can all figure out one word. Help. Help, Lord. We have nowhere else to turn. God, this is bigger than us. And God, that you are able. You are all powerful. You're all knowing. There's nothing too hard for you. There's no mountain too high. There's no valley too low. There's no person that you can't reach. There's no situation that you can't have your hand upon, Lord. So, Lord, we ask for your help today, Lord. We ask for your help today, Lord. So, why don't we just bow our heads? So, anyone here today, you just feel like, yeah, you're talking to me today. There's challenges, difficulties, problems that I'm going through right now. Is there anyone here today? That's today. Yes. We want to trust in you, Lord. We want to trust in you, Lord. Trust in you, Lord. Trust in you. I just want to encourage you today that God desires to help us. He desires to help us. He He's a good, good Father. He wants to do great things in your life. But I tell you, when we try to do things our own way, we can mess it up even more. It can get more murky. But God's calling out to us this morning, let me help you. Let me help you. Let me be with you in this issue. Let me walk with you. Let me carry you through this time. God is fully aware. He is omniscient. He knows all things. He sees all things. He knows what you're going through. And He desires to be a Father who helps you through the seasons of life. In Jesus' name, and everyone said. How many dads in the room this morning? Raise your hand, all proud dads. Isn't it good to be a dad? I tell you what, when your kids come to you asking for help, you want to help, don't you? You want to help, don't you? And sometimes it takes a lot of wisdom to know what the best method of help is. That's why we have such an assurance that God has all wisdom. He is all knowing. He can take, and He knows all the details. He can work it out. And I just want to encourage us, be Esau the first two times at the plate. Don't be Esau the third time when he totally struck out with the bases loaded. Amen? God wants us to trust in Him with all of our hearts. Amen.